Last week we went through the Yirotzen to explain that the word of this Yirotzen after Birkas HaTorah on page 10 is to basically shtelavek your day and what your focus of your day is, and this is essentially your bechira for the day. You have to make a bechira today. What is it that you're going to try to do? And the best way to do that bechira is by tefillah, and that's basically what we said was the goal of that first Yiratzen, is that right, connected to the Mavrishena, connected to waking up in the morning, immediately following that, you make a bracha, a tefillah to Hashem, that you should be magically in the proper path. Okay? Now, there's another
almost like the Yetzirah is ready. I'm ready for you. I'm ready.
Right. Yetzirah is not going to be able to get a stronghold here, you know? Okay, so now comes the next one. All right, here. There's a small another Yiratzen. Here you go. Okay, we're on page 10. We're looking at the two here. So the small Yiratzen following the other Yiratzen. It says like this: Yiratzen Ofanecha, Hashem Aleikai Velekei Avisai. Shetatzileni ayoyim uvechol yoyim me'az eponim u'me'az usponim me'odam ro me'chav ro me'shachar ro me'pegar ro me'sadan ha'mashkes me'din kosher me'an ne'kashem me'an ne'kashem me'an ne'kashem. So it's a strange Yiratzen that's comprised of a lot of different components. We're not going to talk about all the components right now, but there's I want to talk about one point, because it's actually Negeah the Parsha, and it's in a big Yisoy, which is the first thing that we mentioned, that Hashem should be matzel me from azi ponim, that means other people interacting with other people who have azus ponim, who may azus ponim, and he should be matzel me from azus ponim. Means that I shouldn't have azus ponim either. It's one pshat. What is azus ponim? Azus ponim is chutzpah, basically. The opposite of busha. Now, Lemaisa, there's a very extraordinary chazal on a pasuk in this week's parsha, that's Gemara Nedarim, that it says that by Har Sinai, Hashem says one of the reasons, one of the things that I'm going to give Klal Yisrael as a matana at Har Sinai is. Perek Chaf Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayomer Moshe El Ha'am Al Tirou. The fact that you saw this Maimed Har Sinai, don't be afraid. Ki Leva'avur Na Sois Eschem Bohe Elohim. Hashem is coming to raise you up. Uva'avur Tia Yir Osay Al Penechem Levil Tisechato, and that you should have Yir Shemayim. So what does it mean? Tehe Yir Osay Al Penechem. Your Yir Shemayim. So Gemara Nedarim says Zeh Habusha. This is the midah of busha, and that we know in the Chazal that one of the three midas of Klal Yisrael is Baishanim. It's the midah of busha. The Chayv Salvavus goes on to say that one of the greatest matonis that somebody that Hashem gave mankind is the midah of busha. This is like one of the Chayv Salvavus. This is what it says over here, that one of the greatest purposes of Har Sinai is that Klal Yisrael should be zoicha to busha, the midah of being embarrassed. What does that mean? What's busha? So and why is the opposite? It says az panim legehenim, and the opposite of az panim is the Mishnah always says az panim legehenim. And what does it say about busha? Boish. I don't remember. But what? I don't see it right now. Okay, so the idea is like this. Okay, this is a big yisoid. The idea is pain a good thing or a bad thing? In the which part? Boishes ponim legan eden, right? So what's the difference between an az ponim and a boishes ponim? So is pain good or is pain? Let's take an example of pain, physical pain. Is pain a good thing or is pain a bad thing? So, okay, I'm talking about, but objectively, that's getting already philosophical. Is pain good or is pain not good? The Torah says pashut, that pain is very important. Why? Because if a person wouldn't have pain, they wouldn't know that something's wrong. You put your hand on the burner and you wouldn't take it off because it doesn't hurt. You take off your hand and it's nothing left. Okay? So, a person who doesn't feel pain is in a very, very dangerous, precarious position, right? He never knows if something's wrong, right? So pain is the way that there's a relationship between the brain and the rest of the body, and the emotion, the feeling of pain, is that which tells you something's not in sync, okay? The Yisod of Busha, I heard from my Rebbe, one of my Rebbe, Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky, said the Yisod of Busha is that it's that midah in a person, which is the connection, the same way pain is in a physical world, that something's not right, okay, between the way it should be and the way it is. Busha is that in a spiritual sense, describing the actions of a person. Busha is when something's not right about what I know I should be and what I am. Okay, so if a person's acting with busha, then if a person is a little bit embarrassed, not only embarrassed in front of other people, he's embarrassed to himself. The idea is that he knows that really he's holding here, but his actions are here, and therefore he's embarrassed because something's wrong. Okay? It's like the conscience of a person. If a person doesn't have that midah busha, then there's nothing going to be telling them that they don't have a conscience. Nothing's going to tell them, you're wrong, you're off, you're right. Right? Right. That's why it says, Kol Oisa Davar Umizbayish. Can I get a microphone? Because I'm on a straight. I have a microphone over here. In the drawer. I have one. Bush is a warning system. Hello? Yeah. So, it's a little bit louder with this thing, barely, but you can hear it a little bit better. And I don't have to talk as loud. So, yeah. So the idea, it's a little too loud. But, okay. So the idea is that busha is the warning system which tells you that something's not right with your actions. If you are something's off with the way you should be and the way you are, that's where busha kicks in. Azponim is someone who is in azus, is the opposite, means I'm fine with the way it is. So a person who's azponim is legehenim because he has no way of becoming better. Because he's happy with the way it is. He thinks this is the way he should be. So the azponim has no hope of ever improving because he's not embarrassed he doesn't think anything's wrong.
Is he like a balgaiv as well?
Yeah. It's a chutzpah. It's a midah of chutzpah because a chutzpah means I'm willing to face you and tell you that this is the way it is, and I realize that doesn't fit in, right? It's not the way it's supposed to be. So when you say in the tefillah, you're starting off your day, that you're one of the things you want to ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu for are all the things, exterior things, which are going to save you from doing averis. So one of them is azus panim. Because if a person has azus panim, they're never going to realize they did anything wrong. They're never going to be able to feel the difference between knowing if they did something wrong or not. Okay? So that's the midah of azus panim. Now,
it's interesting that that's picked as number one.
Right.
Versus Sutton Mamashna.
Right. So I'm saying, because this is an internal thing that can protect a person from even the current matzav he's in. Right? If a person's az panim, then he's not going to be able to be makir anything they're doing wrong ever.
It's her one.
Right.
The moment you're az panim, it's her one.
Right. So the matana at Har Sinai is, that's why the biggest matana that a person can have is busha. And the Gemara says, Kol Oisa Avera Umizbayish Alav Moichlen Laya Kol Avanoisav. Why? Because if you're Mizbayish, that means that you really know it's not you. Busha means if you're embarrassed about something, that you're embarrassed that you were lowered yourself to that level, that means you're being makir, that that's not you. Because if it was you, if it's who you are, then you wouldn't be embarrassed. It's only because it's not you that you're embarrassed. Oh, now you're makir, it's not you? That's the first step to tshuva. Then already you can be moichel yavonis because you're already being makir. It's not you, it's not really who you are. Okay. Now the other things in the tefillah here are other things which also take you into chet. Exterior factors which save you, which will put you into chet. Adam ra, chaver ra, shachin ra. All these things pull a person into an environment of avera. And a kodesh baruch hu, you ask kodesh baruch hu for hatzala, for to save you from these outside factors. Now this is one of the areas where this is one of the terutzim to a famous kasha, which the kasha is hakol. We spoke about it last week a little bit, but it's hakol bidei shemayim chutz mi'ir shemayim. That you have to do a shtadlus, but at the end of the day, everything's telling your bonus level. But when it comes to your shemayim and your level of ruchnis, it's not like that. It's telling you. So how can you ask Hashem, you know, for all these for siyat d'shmaya? So we spoke out last week one mahalach. That's good for your bechira. Okay, but one of the other things that Marshall says and others is that one thing you could really is that if a person was put in a straight, in a clean matzav, and with clear judgment, he would always choose to do the right thing, because that's the way a person was created. What's pulling him away is all the outside factors, okay? His environment, his social pressures, all those things. If a person can daven, and a person is allowed to daven to Hashem to protect him from those outside factors, and b'meila now will be able to be boichra out of my own neshama. So you're asking a kodesh baruch hu, you have to take away all the things which pull me away from being able to be makir, really what I'm supposed to be makir, and what the neshama would really tell me. So that's these outside factors. Adam or chaver or shacher. Okay. Fine. Yeah.
So why is that the only meter that we're worried about that we're not worried about? A lot of meters are coming in this too. But everything else is the outside factor. The only meter that we're against the foreign check is from.
Right. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to us, but as a matana. But that doesn't mean that the, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu cleared Klai's old busha. But you see plenty of Azi Ponim out there. Okay, so you could lose it. I know, but apparently this is the one midah which tells a vek your day as I have potential for growth now. Because without Azi Ponim, with an Azus Ponim, I have no potential for growth because I'm stuck in my way. Okay. Okay. Now
I also think all the other bad midos include a little bit of Azus Ponim.
Right. It's true, yeah. We spoke out on Shabbos. I bumped into a Pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei says that Soinei Teichachos, this Perek Tezvav, Soinei Teichachos is Yomus. Someone that despises Musar will die. So Shailas Mefarshim asks, why is it going to be Yomus? It's Chayiv Misa if you don't like Musar? I mean, you know, what does that mean? So the Teretz is, this is one of the truths, because if you're Soinei Teichachos, you have no potential for growth. Because you're stuck in your way. So what's the point of living? The point of living is to steig. If there's no potential for steiging because you're stuck, then you may as well die. That's going to be pshat in the pasuk. Okay. Now, in the Nusach Ashkenaz Sidurim, the next tefillah, it was introduced later into the tefillah, the Akedah. But really, in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, the Akedah is not mentioned at that point. And what's mentioned is the tefillah of La'olam Yehei Adam. So we're going to go to La'olam Yehei Adam. Now, La'olam Yehei Adam is a very, very fascinating tefillah because of the following. First of all, read it. La'olam Yehei Adam, a person should be Yareish Shamayim, B'Seser Uvagoloi. So first of all, okay, that's what our gear says, but that wasn't the gear saw initially. And then you start talking to Hashem, Ribon Kol Ha'olamim, Lo'yatzim Kaseinu, etc. Then all of a sudden you start talking about a huge Musarvar. You're talking about Musar over here. Why you're being mocked him with Musar? Then it says, we say Shema. Like, what's going on over here in this tefillah exactly? What's the purpose of this tefillah and what is it doing here? Okay? So first of all, There's a history to this tefillah. And the history is, according to the Beis Yosef, brings down from the Mishibuli Aleket, a Moyerdika history to this tefillah. That the tefillah was, the original Gersa was, Loilum Ye Adam Yershmaim Besesar, not Uvagoli. Uvagoli was added later. Loilum Ye Adam Yershmaim Besesar, Umoida Alo MS, Vedover MS Bovavo. It's all talking about how you have to be MS-dick in private. Now, we ended up changing it to, because Besesar means in private. So the Besesar says we have to change it to add Uvagoli because people thought it meant you only have to be Yershmaim Besesar, but not Bagoli. So they changed it. But what was going on in this tefillah? So the Beis Yosef brings to the Mishibuli Aleket that this tefillah was designed for Shas HaShmad. It was originally established at a time of decrees against Klal Yisrael. And the Goyim would come in to Davin and make sure that Klal Yisrael didn't say Shema. Because Shema is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim, and it's like a bizarre to the government. When you bring Makabal different Malchus, what's the matter? What's going on here? And they didn't let Klal Yisrael say Shema. So they know Davening starts at 7:10. Shema is about 7:30. So they come in about 7:30. Are you saying Shema or whatever? So that's the opposite case, exactly. So, therefore, what they did was, is that they had this tefillah, and the tefillah was gufa this. If you can't do it begaloi, because the goyim are telling you not to, so do it at least beseser. And realize you don't have to publicize the emes, but you should be moidal. And you should know the MS in your heart, even if you can't publicize it out of your heart. Okay? And then it says, V'yashkin, and you should say this whole tefillah. And then you should say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Baruch Hashem Kvod, and say Shema at that point. And be yoytzei the mitzvah of Shema. So you got that in. And then we end off saying, Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh Hashimcha Barabim. What's that tefillah? The tefillah is that if they kill us, what mitzvah do you fulfill? You die al Kiddush Hashem. So you say that even though everything that we do is going to be beseser, even though we're willing to do, we have to do everything beseser, but ultimately we're willing to mekadesh shemayim barabim if we have to. So that's the history, at least according to the Shibuli Aleket, of this tefillah.
Did he say they said all three paragraphs then?
So he doesn't say that because he does bring that the Gemara in Brachos is mavur that you could be yoytze kriya shema with the first pasuk. So it could be that they were yoytze the ikra din with the first pasuk. Okay, but that's the history of this tefillah. Okay, now it's that idea. Okay, now there's another inyan here. The Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simin Tzadi Ches that it says there, Tzadi Ches Sif Aleph. It says that that when a person is supposed to, one of the things that a person is supposed to think about before davening, it says, "V'tzarech shiyachshoyv b'dvarim hamachni'im halev." A person is supposed to think about things which cause him to have hachna, which is being subservient to Hashem. Umechavnim oisay laviv shemeshmaim v'lo yachshav b'dvarim sheish b'mkalos roish. But you have to think about hachna. And the Rama adds, "V'yachshav koydim atfilo b'roim emosakel." You have to think about how great Hashem is, uveshiflois ha'adam, and how small a person is. V'yaser kol ta'anugei ha'adam miliboy. And you have to not think about gashmias. So this seems to be a pretty like Yosef's dick, and Mesil Sisharm talks about this also. I think in Perek Yutes he discusses this idea how what your kavanah is supposed to be as an introduction to tefillah. Now, that seems to be a pretty basic kavanah for tefillah, and we don't find like that there's a major emphasis on that. So some want to say, I'm not sure who, but I definitely, it's possible that this tefillah right after brachas. Okay, the first part of the davening is brachas. This is really the first part of the tefillah. This is the first thing that we're saying in tefillah, really. Right from here, it goes into Baruch Shomar. The brachas are separate. So the first thing we say in tefillah is this tefillah. And as we go through the tefillah, we'll see one of the main purposes of this tefillah is to do exactly what the Ramah and the Mechaber say is the proper introduction to tefillah, which is a person is supposed to be machnia himself, realize that he's basically subservient entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can't do anything on his own. And the shiflus Adam, Reimim Musakel, how great Hashem is, how small a person is, and realize that Olam Hazeh is not really worth all that much, and with that you can go ahead and be a makdim into tefillah. And if you look at this tefillah, I think that does exactly this. The whole purpose of this tefillah is, I think, is as an introduction to tefillah, is to fulfill this Ramah as your introductory remarks towards tefillah. Okay? So, okay, so let's go through it, and you'll see that if you do look at it, that's what's going on. A person has to have Yerei Shemayim, like we said. So you get up in the morning right away, and you say the following. I don't ask you, Hashem, to listen to my tefillah based on my own tzidkus. I need your rachmanos. So again, you're saying, it's not you, it's Hashem. You, right? What's our life worth? What are we worth? What chesed have we done? What tzedakah have we done? What's our potential for Yeshua? We have no strength. We have nothing to present for ourselves. Even the great people are ka'ain lefanecha. And the people with great reputations were like they weren't there. Now, this is a big question. Who's this talking about? We're talking about tzaddikim here. So we're now publicly saying that all the tzaddikim from all the deras were nothing. I mean, what are we saying with this exactly? So there's a question about that. What are we saying exactly? But is it talking about? There's two ways to understand it. Maybe it's talking about tzaddikim, and it's talking about that even the tzaddikim without siyata d'shmaya wouldn't be able to accomplish what they accomplished. Or it's talking about regular people and saying, listen, regular people aren't all that, you know, spectacular. Now, then, so this tefillah is basically saying what the Ramah says here, which is we don't have anything to present for ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch, we know it's all up to you. Okay? Now, by the way, just an interesting tidbit. The initial nusach of this tefillah, there's one other time besides in this tefillah that we say this nusach. You know what it is? Does this sound familiar from anything? By Ne'ilah. This is the tefillah that we say by Ne'ilah. So we say it by Ne'ilah, and then we say it every day in the morning before davening. It's like a little interesting. So when Tzio said over, when Tzio Solomon said over one time, that amongst the writings of the Alter from Kelm, they found his Kabbalahs. The things that he was Mekabel upon himself. And one of the things that he was Mekabel upon himself was to say this, to say Aleinu every day in the Rosh Hashanah Nusach. Why? So you could remember that madrega that you had in Rosh Hashanah, that stickle that you felt like that minute in Rosh Hashanah you had a hisiris and you realized what madrega you were on, and then all of a sudden, you know, during the middle of the winter you're like, where am I? I'm the same person. I thought I reached such a high madrega in Rosh Hashanah. So you say the Rosh Hashanah Nusach Ad Aleinu to remind yourself of that madrega, to remind yourself of your Shon Yom Kippur. That's what it said over there. So Matisyahu said that that's part of the kavana of why in the beginning of davening we also mentioned the Yom Kippur davening. We take a piece of the Yom Kippur davening and put it here, so that in the beginning of the davening we mention it, and at the end of the davening we mention it, to surround the whole davening with this inyan of trying to connect into the Yom Meroim mode. Okay, so at least while we're davening, we're connecting into that mode. That's an aside. Now, we continue to say, Kirov Maseim Tov, most people are nothing. Vimechayim Hevel Afanecha, a person is Hevel. And that's the other thing that Rama says, that you should be Mevatel Tanuge El Mazen. And then it says, Umoisar Ha'adom Mina Behema Oyin, an animal, a person is not much better than an animal. What does that mean, a person not better than an animal? What are we saying with that? What's the purpose of saying that? What are we trying to?
If the animal controls the person.
What?
If the animal controls the person instead of the brain.
Right. So in other words, what it means is that, of course, a person is better than an animal. But a person is better than an animal because he could do ruchnias. So if he's not involved with ruchnias, then he's basically an animal. So therefore, in a chanami, if the person is not going to be better than apply himself to ruchnias, then he's not going to be better. Okay. Then he continues. This is the sort of this tefillah. Okay. So this is the bakasha. This is the inyan. And then we talk about Ashreinu Matan Chalkenu, that we have a chelek, a girl, and a Yerusha, which means that we have our chelek. It's referred to three different things that we have. Our chelek is our haftacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our girl is our midos, and our Yerusha is our ability, is our Messiah. The Messiah. So you have the Shvuah to the Avos. You have, that's the Chelek. You have the Goral, which is our Midos, and that's why it's not in. Right.
We're governed by divine providence.
Right. That's why Toiv, something which is Toiv is good, but not everything which is good is Na'im. Na'im is sweet, right? Because something can be good, and we believe it's all good from Hashem, but it's not sweet. It's bitter, but we believe it's good for us. It's medicine. Right. So sometimes you could have medicine, it doesn't taste good, but you know it's good for you. That's toiv. Our chelek is toiv. Our chelek is the shvua, is the bris that we have with Hashem. But sometimes we got to go through rough times for that. But our girl is our midos, is the girl that we have from Yitzchak. The chelek is what we have from Avram. The girl is what we have from Yitzchak. That's why it goes back to what it says. It says Shinshbatel b'nei Avram avecha is referring to Avram. Zer Yitzchak Yechidoi. The Yitzchak is the girl, and we learn the midas of Messiah of from Yitzchak. Mayafe Yerushasenu is the midah, is the Yerusha, is the Torah. Marosha Kilas Yaakov, right? And that's Yafa. That's even a higher level than Noim. Noim is sweet, but Yafa is that even other people see that it's Yafa. Noim is it's taka sweet, but no one else sees that except for you. But Yafa is it should be apparent to everybody. So our Yerusha is our Torah. That should be apparent to everybody. And then we're going to Shema. Okay, now. After that, we complete the tefillah by saying, Atahu, you are Hashem, Atchele Nivra Ha'olam, you are Hashem before the world was created, you are Hashem after the world was created. Where does this part of the tefillah come in? So, Mordechai Yalkut. This tefillah comes from a Yalkut. Okay, it's a Chazal in Parashas Vayeschanan. And I'm going to read it inside because it's amazing. It's the Yalkut, Simen Tuf Tuf Lamed Vav. The Yalkut says that Hashem cries every day when he sees that the Goyisha theaters, stadiums, whatever, right, are in full blast, in mint condition, gorgeous, right? So you go past whatever, I don't know what it's called here, the arena, whatever, MetLife Stadium, whatever it is, and you go past the stadium, oh, this is not shy, you know, and then you go by the coast of Maravi and there's no Beis HaMikdash. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries every day when he says that the teatrois of the Goyim are in full blast, in full condition, great mint condition, but the Knesias and the Midrashos are empty. So it says here, and Hashem says, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to be machir of the veld. Kivan sheizol nechnosim shachris lebatei knesiyos ulebatei midrashos. But then Yidden walk into shuls all over the world. Umiyachdin shmoi. And they are miyachid Hashem Hashem, even in this matziv. V'oimrim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. All of a sudden the malachim hear that. Umiskabtsim kol malachi asharis eitzal kodesh baruch hu. The malachim come to Hashem. V'oimrim lefanov. And they say, this tefillah, atahu. No, Hashem, you were before the world. You'll be after the world. You're gonna. Hashem's name will outlast all these things. And Hashem decides based on the yichud Hashem, on the yichud of Klal Yisrael, not to destroy the world. So that's what's going on in this tefillah. That's exactly word for word the tefillah. The tefillah ends Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad based on the Shibulei Aleket. That was the idea. And now Klal Yisrael, even Beseser, even in Golos, and even during the, you know, when they can't do it publicly, but a Yid, even if you can't do it publicly, but you can do it in his heart, and that's it. There's no way you could stop him. And the Yid is going to be, is going to say Shema Yisrael. The Malachim now say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see, Hashem, that even though they're in Golos, but your name is still sanctified. So that's what the Malachim respond to the Shema. It's not us saying it. We're saying now the response in Shemayim to this tefillah.
This is the tefillah of the Malachim.
Right. This is essentially according to the right. So that's what it continues. The Ata Kadosh Yishev Tehillos Yisrael. What does it mean? Ata, you are Kadosh, and you sit on the Tehillos of Yisrael. The Malchus Hashem is based on the Tehillos of Klal Yisrael, and that's a beautiful idea. So in other words, we're saying in Shas Hashmad, and we can't hack and we can't do it publicly, but we do it privately, and we say Shema Yisrael. But then Hashem hears the Shema, and the Malachim respond, "Oh, Atahu Atchelo Nivra Olam, Atu Mishen Nivra Olam, Atu Olam Hazat, you'll be everlasting." And Mekadesh Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Hashemcha Rabin is that there will be the name of Hashem will always be Mekodesh at some, you know, hopefully Barabim eventually. So that's the tefillah according to the Yalkut, where the Atahu comes in.
The next Atahu is also Malachim or not?
It's probably an enhancement of that tefillah, but those words are not mentioned in the Yalkut directly. Okay.
He said he has the
bracha
after
Shem Shem
Shem.
Right here, where we have it.
No, we have the first. We have
Mekai Shem Shem. No, but the first Atahu, I'm saying. Yeah. I'm talking about the first Atahu.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe he brings down where there's another Makor for that, for the second one. Fine. All right, but this is the yisur of this tefillah. It's a very beautiful tefillah. I don't know if everyone has time to say it, but it's definitely accomplishing a lot of things. First of all, it's setting the tone for the whole tefillah. Okay? It's setting the tone for the whole tefillah. It's telling us this is the attitude you're supposed to have walking into tefillah. And to a certain degree, when the malachim hear this tefillah, they tell Hashem it's worthwhile keeping the world going. So Chara, if it's going to take an extra 45 seconds to get to shul early to say it, it's probably worth it, right? So it's a chashuva tefillah. Now, after that, after this tefillah, it's late already. Okay, I'll just give a hakdama. After this tefillah, we start the inyan of the karbonis. And then we mention all the different karbanos all the way to the beginning of Baruch Sha'anah. So it's important to understand the significance of saying karbanos. Why is saying karbanos important? And what's the kavanah you're supposed to have when you're saying the karbanos? And also, we don't necessarily have time to say all the karbanos, so what's the minimum that you're supposed to say? Right, what's the bare minimum? So that, at least, we'll leave you with that, because that you have to know for this week already. So, can't wait for next week for that. So the Rabbi Yashiv told, I heard from Rabbi Felder in Lakewood, that he asked Rabbi Yashiv, what to tell B'nai Torah is the minimum you're supposed to say. So he said, you should say the Parashas HaTomit and Ezeo Mekoimu. the stuff in between, you know, it's stuff. The tefillos, the karbonos, the pesukim in between, you have to say. But the karbon atomic, which is on page 15. And then ezel makoyman, if you have a chance. Later, also. But the main thing is the karbon atomic, and following that is ezel makoyman. Okay, we'll go, next week we'll talk about the significance of the karbon atomic. What's the parish of the atomic? What's the significance of the carbon tumid? Okay, I have to stop here.
It's interesting, we're talking about